can see different needs that God has met in your life, and I could go on and talk about the many things that God has done in my life. And I know I put restrictions on that. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. But we all have been given so much. And this Sunday that we're reminded to give thanks to God, I'd like to take a few moments to remind ourselves that not only are we to be receivers of God's blessing, we're also to be givers. Thanksgiving Sunday should be a time of appreciation, but of commitment to give to God. Our text this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 38. Very familiar but powerful scripture. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, once again, we give all honor, glory, and praise to you. We thank you for your presence in this place. And the many, many blessings, God, that you have poured upon our lives. God, as we come to you today, we are reminded that your desire for your church is that we be a giving people. And so, God, as we look at this theme of giving this morning, we ask that through your word you'd speak to our hearts and encourage us to be givers. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, the title of the message isn't just that we should be givers. The title of our message is that we should be people who give out of our need. Because more often than not, God puts us in a situation where there's a need, and He wants us to give, but we have little or nothing to give. I won't ask for a show of hands, but if you've been serving God, I think all of us have been in that situation and been in that situation numerous times. In fact, I find it sometimes kind of frustrating where all of a sudden there's a need that's plunked into your lap, so to speak, and you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do something about that need. And I understand, you know, no man is an island. We can't meet every need, and not every need that comes our way is actually a need, and we need to be discerning. But there are real needs that are out there. In fact, just open the newspaper. We see needs all the time. Just walk down the street. Talk with people. You'll hear needs all the time. And our responsibility as God's people are not only to be people who receive the many blessings of God. So many blessings. First and foremost, the blessing of eternal life and the forgiveness of sin and the release from all of that guilt and bondage that comes with sin. But so much more, because the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights in whom there's no shadow of turning. My health, my life, my family, my mind, my spirit, my possessions, everything according to God's Word comes from Him. So I have so much to be thankful for, but God has called us to give and will put us in places to give, but sometimes we don't have anything to give, or at least we don't think we have anything to give. But that's the time that God wants His people to give out of their need. You know, I think our mindset, and our mindset really needs to change as far as giving, is like the mindset, or I like to think of it as the Salvation Army mindset. And I'm thinking of Sister Cindy, because she's faithfully ringing that bell every holiday season. And you know, the mindset when you go to Stop and Shop or whatever, you know, Walmart, and you see, you know, the person out there ringing the bell, well, if I got a couple dollars, yeah, I'll put a couple dollars in that keg. I want to help out people, but If I only have a couple dollars and I need, you know, bread or milk, we're out of luck. I'll give only if I have enough to give. But look at our text one more time this morning. These are the words of Christ, His directions to us. Give and it will be given unto you. Notice He's not saying, give if you have more than enough. Or give if you feel like it. The calling to be a giver is under every situation that we come across, especially those situations that the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do something about that need. We're going to talk about that this morning, and we're actually going to look at three stories in Scripture that illustrate three people who gave out of their need. They had next to nothing. But the next to nothing that they had, they gave. And in that giving, God did amazing things. The first is found in the Old Testament. It's the story of we don't know her name. We just refer to her as the widow of Zarephath. And we read about her in 1 Kings 17. The next two stories you're probably more familiar with, the story of the little boy who had the lunch when Jesus was preaching to the multitudes, 5,000 men and probably over 5,000 people, women and children also being there. Jesus said, let's get them something to lunch. And all they had was one little lunch. And then the story of the woman who gave two mites or two little, I'm not going to say pennies, because the Bible says that what she gave was less than a penny. Can you imagine receiving that if you're a waitress or a waiter and receiving that as a tip, less than a penny? That's what these people had, little or nothing. And they gave from their nothingness. They gave out of their need, and God did great things. Now, before we look at those stories this morning, let's first look at the area of need. And of course, when we talk about need, the first thing we think of is finances. And that's often true. I think most people today, in an increasing number, as we see, and this just isn't a United States thing, this is a world phenomenon of the economies of the world crumbling. And I don't want to get into it now, but, you know, signs are pointing to the soon return of Christ, and before Christ comes, the economy is going to be turned upside down. This may be the prelude, but that's another message for another time. But our wallets are getting thinner. Our bank accounts are getting smaller. Our so-called disposable income is not so disposable anymore. And needs, financial needs come. Now, let me say, as far as giving financially, God wants us to give out of our need. And this is kind of aside from what the message is, but be very careful, especially in this age of plastic giving. God does not want us to use credit to give. The woman didn't borrow two mites to give or borrow $100,000 that she didn't have in the first place. She just gave out of the smallness of what she had. Be very careful. Scripture does not teach borrowing to give. It teaches giving what you have, but not taking from what you don't have without any ability to pay for. So be very, very careful on that. But yet, finances, which is hard today because the dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. In fact, Brother Charlie's really good on reminding us of, you know, how much a dollar is worth today as opposed to, you know, several years ago. Not that much. But that's not the only thing of value or the only thing that God asks us to give to other people. Another important thing, I think, equally, if not more valuable than money, is our time. In fact, in some ways, time is harder to give than money. It's easy to throw a few dollars at someone, but it's hard to actually spend time with them. Give of yourself. And a lot of times, especially now, you know, how many have a lot of free time this week? We'll be talking to you. Which reminds me of one more announcement. Those who are helping distribute baskets, thank you for raising your hand, because you just please be here tomorrow at 12, if not a little bit before. And we'll be delivering Thanksgiving baskets to the different schools. As many of you as can will be helpful. So, amen. Back to the message. Where was I now? Time. So time is very valuable. And there are times when our time is less than other times, like holidays or things are crazy at work or things happen in your family. I know this week, my time, I'm thinking, how am I going to get everything done? I've got a funeral to do on my uncle passed away, but I know God's going to take care of it. But the third thing, and I think something that's also very important, something of value that we have to give, it's not just finances, it's not just time, but it's our heart. You know, if you're going to minister to someone, you just can't throw at them a pat answer. People really want to hear from you. They want to hear from your heart. In fact, your countenance and your reception of them will probably speak as much, if not more, than the words that you share. And if you're glib or dismissive with them and, oh yeah, you know, just, you know, kind of quote a scripture and walk off, and it's hollow. The problem is that in life, and in life there is sorrows. This isn't heaven. God gives us the grace to get through, but there's a lot of struggles that we go through in life in the here and now. And sometimes when a need presents itself, and it's not one we can take care of with money, can only be taken care of by giving our heart to that person, by crying with that person, but by loving on that person. But inside our heart is empty. I've just been going through so much in my life this week. I don't have anything to give. And boom, God put someone right in your path. And the Holy Spirit taps your shoulder and says, I want you to speak to that person. Let me tell you, I've been there more often than I'd care to be. But that's the way God works. And excuses, there's no excuse in our text. Sorry, Matt. Give and it will be given. We must give of ourselves even when we don't seem to have it. We've got to give anyway. But when we do, beyond the shadow of a doubt, we can see the might and power of God move and work in our lives and in the lives of those who we're ministering and sharing with. Three stories that I'd like to share with you briefly this morning. First is the account of the widow at Zarephath, and she was a widow who lived in Israel during the time of the prophet Elijah, and during this time there was a great famine in the land. Now, I don't know about you. If you think, you know, sometimes when I think I have it tough, I read some of these stories and it reminds me that I don't have it too bad at all. 1 Kings chapter 17, the Bible says, regarding Elijah, he went to Zarephath, verse 10. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and please bring me a piece of bread. And then Elijah comes across her need. Verse 12, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we might eat it and die. Talk about a Thanksgiving dinner. I got a handful of meal. How much is that? Well, you know, I got a man's hands, maybe not as big as some. She's probably got a little lady's hands, and all she's got a little handful, a little bit of oil. Their Thanksgiving or their last meal was going to be a little cake, probably about that big. And what do you think Elijah said to her? Oh, but you know, don't worry. Let me pray with you and pray that God would open the door of blessing. Or don't worry about it. I'll find bread somewhere else. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home. Do as you said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman in her family, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. What happened here? Elijah said, "Give, and it will be given to you." He didn't say, "Wait until you have an abundance, or I'll find someone else." Out of your need, give. Basically, the same. What he was telling her was the same thing Jesus says to us today in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Whether we have plenty or little, when the need arises, you are to give. Can you imagine her response? Put yourself in her shoes this morning. She's facing death, and not just her death. I mean, if it was her, it would be one thing, but she's going to make a meal for herself and her son. And all it is going to be two bites. And that's it. And they're going to die. She's resigned to it. And this man says, "Make me a cake first." If it was me, I can't give you that. I want to give it to my son. And you know, this is crazy. I know what I have. I know I don't even have enough for us, never mind you. There's no way that this will take care of me. And just the fact that he would have the gall to ask her such a thing. But for some reason, when she heard the word of God, it must have been the Holy Spirit. She went home and did the thing that the prophet of God told her to do. She made him a cake first, and what happened? God supplied all her need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Need will come your way. And not just financial, although financial, look what's going on in New York and New Jersey, and more is coming. Especially as we approach the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, will the church be seen as the church that gives? Or the church that's afraid and says, "No, I only have enough for myself, I can't give to you"? Or will we give out of our need? Need is everywhere. How will we respond? But is anything too hard for God? We obey God and we obey His prompting and we have trust in His Word. You know, our thinking is, well, God, as soon as I have a certain amount of money in the bank, then I'll give to missions. Well, let me tell you, especially in a need for food, you know, such as what's been happening in New York or the Caribbean and whatnot, they can't wait for us to have a huge bank account. Or God, Let me get through the holidays. I'll have more time. Or, God, I've just had such an exhausting week, and I'm just mentally, physically, and emotionally, and spiritually drained. I don't have anything to give. And someone comes up to you in their face and they're crying and, you know, and all this. You can't say to them, wait till I get back from vacation. Our thinking is, God, you know, let me have mine first. Give me first and then. And you wonder why God does that. But part of it is because of what God wants to do in us. Sure. God could give us a wad of $100 bills, and then all of a sudden we walk into someone who, you know, who's destitute and needs, you know, rent or food or something like that. But when we give out of our need, we're exercising something that God has placed in our life. And really doesn't mean anything until we act on it, and that's what's called faith. Believing that when God moves us to do something, that even though it seems crazy and even though it seems like we don't have enough, we know that God will not only use what we've got to provide their need, God will also provide our need as well. But there, you know, and I'm not on much on the finance thing, although that is part of it. But our time and our heart. In fact, I have found that when I'm obedient, and I'll be honest, there have been times when I haven't been. But when I'm obedient, I have seen the hand of God's provision. It's like God opens the door. And not just a matter of taking care of all my needs, my financial needs. But also, when I think I'm not going to have enough time, all of a sudden I've got time to spare. Hey, I might actually read the newspaper today. Or when I don't, I'm empty, and this is especially true in giving up your heart and spirit. Empty in heart, and someone comes and, God, no, not today. I just don't have it within me. But you've got to. It's amazing how God just pours in what you're pouring out in abundance to your life. The grace, the strength, the peace, the comfort that you need. It's almost like when you're sharing with something, when you're sharing with someone and trying to minister to their need, you're actually speaking also to yourself. It's what they call win-win situation. When you give to God for the glory of God, God gives you so much more. The second story is the story of the boy with the meager lunch. So we know this is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Jesus crossed over the far shore of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. And Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming to him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, 8 months' wages. This is kind of what we do, you know, when God asks us to give out of our need. 8 month wages could not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another one of his disciples, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place. The men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them in the 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Now, and we'll get back to this. The main thing about this story is the provision of God and how God took this small meal. But one of the things sometimes we overlook, it took a little poor boy to give up his little meager lunch in order for those 5,000 to be fed. And I say poor boy, and there's a reason why we know he was not a boy of means. You know, his mother essentially sent him, you know, how many remember those Lunchables? They still serve those things? You know, I remember every once in a while, we wouldn't give them to our kids every day, but every once in a while it was a treat, we'd get them, and I think one was tuna, and I think the can of tuna was about the size of a thimble. You know, little tiny thing. But this was different. This meal wasn't even, you know, the high cost or the high quality meal. The little loaves and you know, the distinguishing thing about those loaves were that they were small. They were made out of barley, which is a grain that people who didn't have a whole lot of money, they used. It was cheaper to make bread. So this was a poor kid. And his mother, the only one, when he wanted to go off and see Jesus, she provided him this little lunch. This little Lunchable, but it was a generic one. It wasn't even a good one. And here, and then this man comes along and says, "I need your lunch. We're going to give it to someone else. Or we're going to, you know, can you imagine what's in the kid's mind?" I don't think one of them would, you know, the 60 or so people who are here, can you imagine 5,000? But he gives it anyways. But what happened? Through his meager giving, God was able to abundantly bless many. Sometimes, and this is a little bit different what we're talking about, but it does apply. When a need presents itself, especially a need where we need to pour into someone's life, we feel like that boy, this is really nothing. You know, this is just a cheap little meal, little rotten little barley loaves and 2 little stinky fish. No one's going to want to eat this anyways. But don't we feel that sometimes when people come to us and, you know, they just drop a bomb in our laps? I've just been diagnosed with cancer. I just received divorce papers in the mail. My house is going to be foreclosed. And they're looking to you. And they're looking for an answer. And you're like, "Well, I think you'd be. I'm that way, and I'm a pastor, and I went to Bible school." And it's like, what am I going to say to this person? I have nothing to give. And what I have is small and inconsequential. But if you give, even out of the little that you have, God can take that and work a miracle in their lives, just as He worked a miracle on that day and fed 5,000 people. You don't know the little that you give, what an impact that can have on someone's life. You might, a scripture might come to mind and you might fumble it around and you might not even get it completely right. But let me tell you, God can take that little nugget of truth and really work in someone's life and bring about a great deliverance. Not that God can't do it with, you know, a couple of bucks. You know, all I have is a couple of bucks, but here, and God can do a miracle with that. But don't think the little of you that you have is of no consequence, because God can take it, transform it, and bring about a miracle. Because actually, what are we called to do? We're not called to be the star. You know, if you know, Mahatma the bread man was there with caravans of bread, it would be a very inconsequential story. But when Jesus took that little gift and broke it, people were drawn to Christ and people followed him the next day because they wanted to continue to receive from him. You know, some issues that went along with that. Jesus was able to teach them about the bread of life. But when you in your weakness and you out of your need give and God does a miracle, what God wants to happen happens, and that God is, it's not about you and your greatness. It's about God. And isn't that what we're here for? Absolutely. Last story, real quick. It's the woman with the two mites. Mark 12:41-44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. We don't do that here, by the way. I don't watch this. No, I'm just kidding. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others. They gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put everything, all she had to live on." I can't imagine the courage and the devotion of that woman who had so little in the face of those who came who had so much to take those little coins and put it in that offering chest. I can imagine just the intimidation she felt. You know, this is nothing compared to what other people are giving. And you know how people are. People do watch, unfortunately. And people belittle those who can't do as much as other people. But despite that, out of her need, and she had literally nothing, if there's anyone who had an excuse not to give, it was this woman who had less than a penny to live on. And her in her heart gave it to God. And what she did was demonstrate something that God desires in us. And that is love. Jesus said, one of my favorite scriptures as it relates to giving, Matthew 6:21, I believe, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." She gave everything. Can you imagine if you were to do what she did, or if I was to do what she did today, I would have emptied out all my bank accounts. I would have looked all over my house for every dollar bill, every piece of change, and just put it in the offering. Can you imagine doing that? And that's what she did. And according to the words of Christ, she was demonstrating her heart, her love for God. When we give out of our need, we're showing how much we love Jesus, because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. When we give kind of God, and I've preached on this before, you know, kind of the leftovers, God, well, if I have enough, I'll give to you. Well, we show what priority in our life God is. But when we, especially when we don't have anything, when we give to God, I don't have time. When we make time for God, I don't have enough in my heart. When we give it anyways, even my brokenness, I give to you, oh God. We show, number one, we love him. But we also show that we fulfill the second part of the great commandment. Because giving is not just, you know, tithes. Giving is, whether it's time or finances or your heart is investing in other people, we show that we love people as well. You know, I did service work when I lived in Kentucky and went to a lot of homes. I might have mentioned this story before. And I went to some, it was in Lexington, horse country, many affluent people there, and I went in some very nice homes with people who had lots of money. And this time of year, most of the people who had lots of money, which I didn't care, they weren't paying my job, but they weren't paying my salary, but most of them, I did my job, they thanked me, and that was it. One lady, and they owned a very big clothing chain in that area. They were very well off. She looked and saw a big can of popcorn and gave it to me. And I'm like, oh, great, stale popcorn. But then I went to a home, and they weren't dirt poor, but they were an average home, and they gave me a card and had some money in it and had some nice words. And that card and that gift made so much more, meant so much more to me than that can of stale popcorn from that person who had abundance. What we should be about as a church, especially as far as being people who are giving, we need to understand that our giving just doesn't bless God. And giving isn't something that blesses us. I mean, that should be an afterthought. We just give because we know God's going to take care of it. You know, whatever our need is, God's going to take care of it. You don't give, okay, God, now I'm expecting my payoff. That's not what it should be about. But when we, in our need, your world is falling down around you, it seems. The bank account is empty. There's no time left on the calendar, but out of your need, you give, you invest in someone. They see Jesus in you. And it means so much to them. You want to be a person who influences someone else. Show them love. And even when you're in need, give to them. Invest in them. Reach out to them. Spend time with them. Be that shoulder to cry on for them. Share what you have with them. And when you do, you become a living epistle of God's love in their lives. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. And two things I'd just like to say in closing, and if you'd all like, I'd like to ask everyone to stand. We're going to close with a general prayer, the message. But two things I'd like to say. All of us have been, well, I don't mean to judge you. If you're anything like me, all of us have been in a situation where God has prompted us to give to someone and we haven't. And you know, the bad thing about that is sometimes that can become a habit or a lifestyle where we think, I can't, I don't have enough. You know, I've been down this road before. I gotta take care of me first. There's someone out there who's got more, and yes, there is. When God puts a need in front of your life, God is expecting you, whether you have plenty or lack, to do the best that you can to meet that need. There are times we've all failed in that. I have. And it can become a lifestyle, and that's something that, as God's people, we need to repent of. Now more than ever, God wants us to be giving people. Amen? And I'm not talking about tithes. I mean, be faithful with your tithes. But investing in other people's lives. There's an old song that I kind of half remember growing up, and maybe some of you guys who grew up in church. It was called Joy, Jesus and Others in You. This is my daily rule. It's a simple song, but it's really something that we've been called to live by. And so, you know, if we're of that mindset that I can only give when I've got spare time or spare finances or spare heart, that's something that we need to change and we need to repent of. But secondly, and what repentance is, it's not just saying that we're wrong, that's part of it, but repentance means to turn and start doing what's right. And let me tell you, after you walk out these doors, or perhaps on your way outside these doors, it won't be very long before God plunks a need in your lap, and out of your need, He's going to expect you to give to that. Invest some time, invest some heart, or to get, you know, I don't have a whole lot, and it's especially hard, and I've met people who have done this, and it's happened in my life as well. You're setting aside money for a certain thing, rainy day money, or saving up for this or that, and all of a sudden someone says, oh, you know, I've got this coming up, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to give them that. And you think, I can't. Or I'm afraid to. That's the time we just need to kind of run off the dock and into the water. It's cold. It's icy. But the quicker you do, the better off you are, and the more you'll get used to it. But let me tell you this. If there's one thing in Scripture that you can prove or test God, it's that of giving. We're not called to tempt God. When Satan tried to tempt Jesus to tempt God, Jesus responded, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." But God said, "There is one area that you can test me, and that area is giving." We read about it in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. "Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you in tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me." Verse 10, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." Right now, and if everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes, right? You know, I think God is speaking to some people right now. And I don't mean to rehash our missions convention, but let me tell you, God has spoken to some of you about giving to missions. Giving outside of this church to try to win people for Jesus, and you just said, "I can't, I don't have enough." God is saying to you right now, prove me in this. God is moving some of you to some kind of ministry, and you're saying, "I just don't have the time. You know, maybe later when I got more time, later will never come." But let me tell you, you'll never have enough time if you're living in disobedience to God. But God is saying, if you obey me and step out in this, I'll prove myself. Prove me in this, says God. We're going to pray. We're going to ask that God would just bring us into a greater place of a giving heart and a giving spirit. And after we close in prayer and the worship team begins to worship, I'm just going to invite people to make their way forward. Those whom the Spirit of God is dealing with this morning, you want to spend some time with God in prayer. Perhaps you want God to come in and just set you free from the fear of keeping and holding on. Fear of giving in your need. God wants to take away that fear. And let me tell you, He will, and it's through His love. Perfect love casts out fear. But any and all who want to come and spend some time with God, we invite you to come in Jesus' precious name. But let's pray.